listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm your host for today's program, Peggy Hartshorn of Heartbeat International, that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. Welcome again, and we have a wonderful program today for you. I think it's going to be wonderful because I have such wonderful guests, Mike and Kim Roberts, and we're going to be talking about a subject that is so near and dear to my heart and something that I think is at the core of the mission of our program, the Family Sanctuary, which is to help all of our families become sanctuaries of life as God intended. And one of the most important ingredients in that is the couple relationship, the relationship between the spouses, the father and the mother in the family, the couple relationship. And you may have heard me sharing before that my husband and I made a marriage encounter weekend back in October of 1978. And we were involved in the marriage encounter community for many, many years. It's near and dear to our hearts. And it provided for my husband and me tools that we started using in our marriage back in 1978, and we still use. Although we're 47 years married, we still need those tools to help strengthen our relationship. So that's what we're going to be focusing in on today. And again, our guests are Mike and Kim Roberts. Mike, could I ask you to tell us a little bit about you and Kim and Just where you call a parish home here in the Diocese of Columbus, and when you made your weekend?
Okay, yeah, we're Mike and Kim Roberts. Again, we're the Columbus area leaders for Worldwide Marriage Encounter. We've been married about 22 years. We attend the Church of Resurrection in New Albany. We have one son who is 13, and we made our marriage encounter weekend, our first marriage encounter weekend, in 2008 in February.
2008.
Yep.
And we made ours in 78, 88, 98, 2008. 30 years earlier.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We needed it then. You needed it then.
Then, yes.
God brought each of us and every couple who makes a marriage encounter weekend just when they need it the most.
Exactly.
So, and we'll be giving this website later in the program too, but if anybody's interested right now to check out WWME, Worldwide Marriage Encounter, Columbus.org, WWMEColumbus.org. So we're going to talk about the weekend, of course, but mainly we're going to talk about today some of the tools that you learned on that weekend, Mike and Kim, that have really helped you avoid what we call on the weekend married singles. And we have another program in the archives that people can listen to with Mike and Kim on that whole subject of married singles, which is the stage that so many couples fall into. Let's just briefly define married singles. Kim, would you do that for us?
It's basically living in the same house, but not connecting. We do our own thing, have our own routines, and don't necessarily consider the other spouse in our daily routines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're both there, but you're kind of living like roommates, not living like a husband and wife.
Exactly.
All right. Not the vision that God has for our marriage as sacrament.
And not the expectation that most of us go into marriage with.
Yes, you're right, because we go in that stage of romance.
Absolutely.
Where we think we're always going to be gazing into each other's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So excited to see that other person.
Right.
But something happens. And so we've talked about married singles in our previous program. We don't want to leave people in that stage of married singles. So what are some of the tools that you learned on the weekend? We can go over some of them, but we're going to focus in on two in particular. But Marriage Encounter teaches and then helps with follow-up programs, helps couple learn how to avoid the married singles and to get back to romance and eventually to joy in the relationship.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, or two of the things we talk about, are the daily decision to love, and then the other is open communication. So the daily decision to love sounds kind of odd to most couples, because when you're in that romance stage, there's nothing but love. It's constant.
It's easy to love then, yes.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. It's automatic. And that's what most of us think marriage is going to be forever. The challenge comes when life gets in the way and there are children or jobs or other people, extended family and other things.
There can be illness. There can
absolutely
be, yeah, events in the extended family,
right,
that pull us apart.
That pull us apart and take us to that stage of disillusionment. The daily decision to love is waking up each morning and going, of course, I love my husband. No matter what he does today, what he says, what happens between us, I'm going to love him, and we are going to maintain this relationship and keep this marriage going. That's the daily decision to love. Loving your spouse even when you don't necessarily like what they're saying or doing. And then finding the joy again and talking about, with the tool of open communication, talking about how we got to the part where I might not have liked what you said or did, and then dealing with that and getting back to that stage of joy.
So the daily decision to love, it sounds to me like the morning offering. You get up, you
very
wake up
much
in the morning,
like that. Yes.
You make your morning offering, you say your morning prayer, and you say, do you actually do this as an actual verbal in your own mind? Are you saying, or are you praying to the Lord in a daily decision to love? Is it, it sounds to me, Kim, like for you, it's something that you say every morning to yourself.
Not necessarily every morning. There are some mornings when it's automatic. Well, no, there are some mornings when there's nothing to question or nothing to be concerned about. There are also mornings when, or, you know, times when it's not as easy to wake up and automatically think our relationship is fine and we don't need to think about it. There are times when it's not that easy and, you know, sometimes I do have to actually say it to myself, but that doesn't happen.
Wow.
That doesn't happen very often.
It's how you carry yourself, how you behave within your marriage.
It can be the way we act around others when we're not together. Mike has explained at different times how when his coworkers are maybe going down the wrong path talking about their marriages, he doesn't let himself get into that. And there are times when my friends will be, you know, complaining, I guess, about their husbands and how they do things. And I'm like, I don't have any complaints. My husband's awesome. And he is. Though there are still things he does and says that, you know, might annoy me a little bit. That's life. That's expected. And that's the stuff that you kind of learn to let go of and not focus on as much.
That probably comes through time, though, of making that decision to love. Once you're really into those married singles activities and way of thinking, it's not automatic that then all of a sudden
be thinking
about your spouse in a loving way every day.
Right.
I like the idea that it's a daily decision to love, that every day you need to at some point in the day, maybe it's right when you wake up, maybe it's when you're having breakfast, maybe if you're having a cup of coffee or your spouse is dashing out the door, you're both getting into your cars, where it goes through your mind, I love my spouse today.
Mm-hmm.
That is a decision.
Yep.
But as you said, Kim, sometimes you don't feel that way.
Right.
The decision to love is different from just automatically feeling loving, right?
Right. And I think the decision love also includes the actions that you take throughout the day also. So, for example, if Kim's having a bad day, and a decision to love would be to say, hey, you know, sit down and talk and say what's going on. Or just as simple as, hey, let me fix dinner tonight so Kim doesn't have to do it because she's getting home late. So that's even a decision to love. Mm-hmm. It's to show your spouse that you're there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And even if there's an argument or something, you still go back and say, hey, you know, you still make the decision to love and still show that.
You don't go into yourself and say, well, she's not being very pleasant today.
Right.
I guess I'll go and go out and have a beer with some friends, or I'll just read this book and let her alone if she's in such a bad mood.
Right.
Instead, it's a decision to do something loving.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Yes, part of that decision to love is to also the way you behave and how you interact. Yes.
Right. So instead of ignoring the stresses and strains of, let's say Kim is in a bad mood when she gets home, or she's short on the phone when she's talking to you. Instead of ignoring that, putting it under the carpet, or getting angry about it, mm-hmm. or withdrawing on your own, that's when you can make a decision to love and do something loving.
Right. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge that you see that she's having a rough time, or something along those lines, and you know, be attentive and be aware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of our struggles in an ongoing daily way is helping our son with homework. He's 13. He loves school. He doesn't like homework like most 13-year-olds. So one of the things that Mike has done through the years is to kind of relieve that stress from my world and help our son with his homework. So that's a daily decision to love, because it's not one of his favorite things to do either. It can be very frustrating and difficult, and he does it so that we, as a family, can have less stress.
Hmm. That's interesting. So you're saying that a daily decision to love, as I'm thinking through it, could be something you wake up with like a morning offering. You know, after you say your prayers to the Lord, you can say, I'm making a decision today to be loving to my husband.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people need to make that decision with their children as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To be loving. And then as the day goes on, there are stresses and strains, and you could react in an unloving way to those,
right?
In a selfish way,
mm-hmm.
but you can choose to make a loving response,
right?
Okay, so that's a decision to love,
yes.
A daily decision to love. But then, Kim, you're talking about another kind of daily decision to love, which is a habit, maybe,
yes.
That you've gotten into, or something that, for instance, Mike, you realize that it's very stressful for Kim to help your son with the homework.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a daily decision. You've made it a habit to do that.
Right.
So that it relieves a stress on Kim.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, you know, to me,
mm-hmm.
Having made the marriage encounter weekend and also using my attempt to make decisions to love as well, but thinking how many ways we can do that simply as a daily commitment. You know, as incidents happen during the day.
Exactly.
And then even as a commitment for a habitual
mm-hmm.
action, decision to love. That's really great. So Mike, you've made that commitment to help Kim. Kim, is there anything that you think through in your relationship that you've made kind of on an ongoing basis as a decision to love?
Mike might speak to this differently. The one thing I can think of is that Mike does most of the housework at our house,
guy.
Which is a blessing and a gift. The things that I have chosen to do and the decisions I've made to love have been more to help him with those things. So I'll do loads of laundry and then get the clothes out of the laundry and do that kind of stuff. Then I'll leave the last of it for him. He knows I don't like to hang up clothes, so he'll...
Right, so then it goes back to my decision.
Yes.
And I'll go ahead and hang them up. So.
And it's a balance. Yeah. But then the other thing is when I hear him in the kitchen rustling with the dishes in the dishwasher, instead of sitting on the couch and crocheting, watching TV, I'll get up and help him unload the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I got to rattle the silverware a little bit to get over there, but she'll eventually come over.
It's little things like that, though, let him know that I appreciate all the things he does do around our house. And there's a book we often refer to in Marriage Encounter called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman.
I love that book.
One of Mike's love languages is actions, doing things for our family to show his love. And once I recognized that, it was easier for me to start doing things for him so he knows that I love him, because that's his love language.
Right. When the love language that you have, Mike, I love that concept of the five love languages.
Right.
That we each have one or two
right.
love languages that usually we use to show other people that we love them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, Mike, it's acts of service. But Kim, if that's not your love language, you may not even be realizing that Mike is loving you when he does these acts of service.
Absolutely. It took me a while to figure that out.
Because that's not your love language. But now that you know that, you can perform some acts of service for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that's his love language. That helped my husband and me very much, too, because sometimes we're making a decision to love, and then the language that we use to show that love is not appreciated by the other person because they have a different love language.
It's not understood.
That's right. That's right.
Part of getting to that understanding, though, is the other tool that we talked about at the top of the show is open communication.
Right.
And there are lots and lots of ways to consider that.
Well, that's great. It does lead right into that. If someone's just picked up our program, I want them to know that our guests today are Mike and Kim Roberts, who are the leadership couple with other team couples for Worldwide Marriage Encounter here in our diocese, WWMEColumbus.org. And we're talking today about specific tools that you can use in your marriage that they teach on the Marriage Encounter weekend that my husband and I learned on our Marriage Encounter weekend way back in 78, still teaching and even doing a better job, I would say, of teaching these tools today. We have a program in our archives with Mike and Kim on married singles and the stages of romance, disillusionment, and joy. But then this program is focusing specifically on some of the concrete tools. So we've talked about the decision to love, which is a really wonderful concept from the weekend. And that involves making decisions every day to act loving toward the other person, even when you're not feeling loving. Love is a decision. It's not just a feeling. And now we want to move into speaking more about, as you mentioned, Kim, the decision to love involves often open communication, which is another important tool on the weekend. So let's talk about this tool of open communication. What do we need to do to really be opening, to really be communicating in a really open and honest way with the other person?
The first thing we need to do is be aware of the other person's feelings. And we talk a lot on the weekend about expressing feelings, which most of us don't do automatically. I think it might be a little bit easier for women than for men, but we may not do it effectively so that they can understand us.
Instead of talking about our feelings, what do we usually talk about?
The problems.
Problems or thoughts.
What mm-hmm. you did to make me upset.
Right.
Instead of what I'm thinking about or what I'm feeling about a certain situation.
Right. Right. So we're usually talking at the thought level mm-hmm. or the judgment level.
Absolutely.
Right. And why is it that we don't express our feelings?
It doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
It's a risky vulnerability. It's a trust. It's all kinds of different ideas about how when we share feelings as a kid, we might have gotten told or might have been told to, you don't feel that way. We don't want you to feel that way. You're not allowed to feel that way. And as we grow up, it makes it harder to share those feelings with your spouse, who should be the person you're closest to in this world.
Yeah. Right. And Mike, you're shaking your head. Did you have trouble also expressing feelings?
Yeah. In general, you're afraid to express your feelings because of what if I have a feeling that I want to express to Kim, it's like you're kind of wondering if she's going to judge me as weird or different or doesn't accept my feeling for what it is.
Right.
A lot of times people say, well, I feel this way. And like Kim was saying, hey, you shouldn't be feeling that way. Well, feelings are your feelings. You really can't change those feelings.
Feelings are neither right nor wrong. That's a concept on the weekend.
Right,
exactly.
Right. Yeah, it's the behavior and how you react to those feelings is what could be right or wrong. So with the feelings, it is tough to express. And after, over time, expressing your feelings to your spouse, you get a natural understanding of where your spouse is in your relationship with those feelings.
Mm-hmm. We introduced the concept of sharing feelings on the weekend, and it becomes kind of the goal of the weekend to help a couple understand how to do that effectively. And we offer tools on the weekend that we don't have time to talk about here, but the idea of open communication, one of the phrases we use is listening with the heart, and that means putting aside your judgments and your expectations of how things should be and really understanding your spouse's feelings as they are and accepting them as they are.
Now, when we talk about feelings, I noticed you have a workbook now in Marriage Encounter, which we didn't have back in 78, an actual workbook that starts out with listing some feelings. What are actual feeling words? When we talk about feelings that couples are not sharing, what are some of the feelings that couples are pretty common in marriage that the couples just don't share?
Well, there are four basic feelings: happy, sad, angry, and afraid. And there are so many words we can use within each of those. Happy can be excited, it can be honored, it can be joyful or hopeful. Sad can be depressed or deflated. There are so many levels of feeling in each of those major areas. Mm-hmm. Angry could be annoyed or it could be enraged, and those are two very different things. Mm-hmm. I could be anxious about a dentist appointment, but I could also be confused or feeling desperate about something that is going to be happening in my world in the next few days or something like that.
Yeah. You could feel lonely.
Right.
You could feel, depressed, you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Just distant, empty. The negative feelings, I think, are more difficult for couples to share, aren't they?
I think they can be. There are also, though, a number of what we would consider positive feelings on here, being ecstatic or elated or nostalgic or open, feeling fun or silly.
Mm-hmm.
And those
mm-hmm.
are things we don't usually talk mm-hmm. about either, mm-hmm. especially
right.
things like feeling silly. I mean,
it's like, how are you doing today? Okay.
Right.
You know, you get a lot of okays.
Yeah. I'm fine.
You know, I'm fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's no real feelings there. So it's hard to see what your spouse is doing that day
right.
when you get responses like that.
Yeah. And I think couples get confused because sometimes we soften judgments or thoughts by saying, I feel you're not paying any attention to me.
Right.
And then that becomes a thought.
That's
I think,
a thought.
I
it
think
is a
you're
thought.
Not paying attention to me.
Right. That's really a thought.
Does
a feeling
not,
is something really personal inside that your body is telling you
exactly.
that you feel.
Right.
It's a bodily reaction.
Right.
And that is a very intimate way of communicating to share your feelings, but we don't do it very often.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it really builds a relationship over time when you can share those feelings in a vulnerable way.
Right. Without being judgmental
exactly.
as you're sharing them.
Without worrying about your spouse judging you or putting you down or negating your feeling, you shouldn't feel that way, or mm-hmm. I can't believe you feel like that. You know, that kind of thing doesn't happen now in our relationship because we've learned to communicate openly our feelings. And
what is this listening with the heart? I like that phrase.
It's an awesome phrase, and it's a great way to talk about how we can turn those judgments around and support our spouse in how we react to what they're telling us, especially about feelings, but also about other things.
Right. Yeah. It's basically getting rid of some of the barriers when you're listening. If Kim's telling me something, there's times when I'll just try to think about the problem and problem solve for her.
Men love to write in with their knight in shining armor
really,
and tell us how to solve the problem.
Right. So I'm really not listening to what she's saying. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm spinning going, oh, yeah, we can do this, we can do that, we can do this. But all she wants to do is really tell me how she's feeling about it and acknowledge those feelings. So some of those barriers like that is a way you can listen with the heart, because you kind of put those aside and just really listen to what Kim is saying, mm-hmm. and I can understand what she's really feeling at that time.
So one of your barriers is jumping in to solve the problem.
Right. Yep. Oh, yeah.
What are some other barriers? I noticed, Mike, I think I said to you at the beginning, you've got a great sense of humor. And sometimes humor can be a barrier, can't it?
And actually it is, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes Kim will be trying to tell me something and I'll make a joke in the middle of it, and that just kind of blows the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
One of my biggest barriers is impatience, and we actually just talked about that last night.
That was interesting, yeah.
I have a hard time waiting for the point of a discussion or a topic.
So you like to finish his sentences?
Yes, I'm very good at finishing his sentences. Another one is kind of like feeling like I'm the expert in a certain area, so I'm going to tell him how to do whatever it is he's dealing with. An example of that is when a friend of his had a problem at work, and it was kind of a mental health thing, and I'm trained as a mental health counselor, so I was all over that being an expert and solving. It kind of goes back to the problem solving, but it's also more feeling like I know more about a subject than he does, so I'm going to tell him how it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking one of the things for my husband and me that was really hard was when you're trying to acknowledge the person's feeling, the best thing to do is just ask them to tell you more about it. Tell me more how you're feeling. Whereas my husband and sometimes I would fall into, well, I know how you feel. I know just how you feel. Well, how about that as a response?
Mm-hmm. Some of that can
that's
be,
not good.
Right. It can be not helpful.
Because you don't know exactly how the other person
right.
feels.
That's
kind of dismissing the feeling.
Right. And that's kind of the goal of trying to figure out what your spouse is feeling. And then it's up to your spouse to say, you know what? Yeah, you do feel what I feel. Because the way you describe it to me, I think you're feeling the same thing I am.
Part of what we talk about when we're talking about listening with the heart relates back to what a lot of us have heard of as active listening. It's being present with the person who's speaking and looking at them and watching their nonverbal communication cues and putting things in place, but going a step beyond that and allowing ourselves to not think about what they're thinking, but think about what they're feeling.
Right, experience
wow.
their feeling.
Wow. Well, this has been wonderful. You've really helped us, and there's so much to talk about with communication tools, particularly with this listening with the heart and making a decision to love. Our guests today have been Mike and Kim Roberts, who are on the leadership team for Worldwide Marriage Encounter. I wish we could have continued and talked about it more, but listen to these programs at AM 820 St. Gabriel Radio. Thank you for joining us today. Our program is broadcast at 12:30 every Monday and 2:00 on Sundays. I'm your host for today, Peggy Hartshorn. Please join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte, Spiritus, Veni, Penaria. O God, who by